Hello, friends. Welcome to Abide and Thrive Podcast. I am Bria, your host, and I am so glad you're here. Join me every Tuesday as we learn to abide in Him together, unravel scripture, and to have deep and encouraging conversations. But before we start, if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a review, rate, and download this podcast. Your review not only helps me as your host, but it also helps future listeners. And so I hope you have your journals and I hope you have your pens ready because we're going to go into this episode together. Hi guys, welcome back to Abide and Thrive Podcast. I'm your host Bria, and I am so excited for this week's episode because we have a very, very special guest, my friend Jack Roper. Hi Jack, how are you?
I am doing great, Bria. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yes, I'm so excited, Jack. I'm glad you're doing well. And before we start off, I'd like to ask all my guests a question before we start. So, what has been your favorite thing in this season of life?
Whew. Well, this season of life is a very transitional season for me.
Yeah.
For the past 4 years, I have been the recruitment / program director for an extension site of Southeastern University. And so I'm actually going to be moving across the world to be a teacher. So yeah, I'm in a transitional season and a huge moment and leap of faith in my journey with Jesus. So,
yeah. So I'm also, can you share where you're going to be going?
So I have an incredible opportunity to be serving in Israel. And so I am going to be serving the people. I'm going to be a school teacher and really is just going to be creating, you know, connection with people and loving them the way that Jesus loves us. So,
yes, that's going to be so good. And they're going to be so blessed by you. Well, for this week's episode, we're going to be talking about abiding in Christ in the midst of cultural chaos. And so, Jack, I'm excited to dive into this topic together. But before we start, I want to invite the Holy Spirit in and just pray us in.
Awesome.
So, Lord, I thank you, God, for this episode. I thank you for Jack. And I just pray that you would just open up our hearts and open up our ears to be aware and sensitive of your Spirit. I pray for the listeners that who will hear this episode. And I just allow you to just have your way. And I'm so thankful that you would use my voice and Jack's voice for your glory. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. Alrighty. Amen. So, Jack, I want to start off with this question. Is there chaos in our culture? If so, what chaos is present in our culture?
That is such a great question. But before I do dive in, I kind of do want to preface that this is going to be, it is going to be a difficult conversation because when we are faced with the Word of God, it does cause us to reflect. So if there are things in our lives that do need redirecting, that do need to be aligned with the Word of God, that can sometimes be painful. But yes, chaos is extremely prevalent, not just in our secular society, in our healthcare systems, in our government, the way in which we make laws and policies, our justice departments. But I would say the most alarming thing is that chaos is extremely prevalent within the church, that the church is now in some ways, shapes, forms, and fashions is conforming to the ways and the thinking patterns of the world. And so one of the things that I, you know, want to have really the conversation about today is what does scripture really say about this? And there's a lot that we can find in 2 Peter that has so much to do with what we're really experiencing right here in the American church and American culture. But first, I kind of want to preface a little bit. about 2 Peter and this message that was written to churches in Asia Minor, but it was specifically calling out certain leaders that were slaves to the love of money, and even more specifically, these scriptures have a lot to do with the leaders that were bound to their sexual passions. So if we want to go ahead and dive in to 2 Peter, and we're going to be starting in chapter 2, verse 1. And I do want to preface again, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. So for all of our people that are going to be joining on this podcast, bear with me because this word of God is so incredibly rich. So again, this is going to be 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to start. But false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Sounds familiar. Yeah. Even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ash, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as the righteous man lived among them in the day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from their trials and to keep the unrighteous under judgment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. We can pause there. So this starts out really passionate, kind of gloomy, but this is speaking really to the heart of where we are here, even as a nation, that here in, I'm going to speak really to the heart of the church. The church is no longer taking its tenets, taking its law or its direction really from the word of God. It's being more informed about this cultural wave that really, I would say within the past decade has advanced so astronomically. And unfortunately, the church is adopting some of these tenets into her practices, into her theology. And what Peter is saying is he's warning us that there will be false teachers. There is going to be false doctrine that is going to rise up contrary to what Christ gave his life for and what the church ought to be building the kingdom upon. And so as believers, we have to be watchful. We have to be ready that when we do see these things, which we can see these things, it's not a matter of if we see these things, but we are seeing them. And they're prevalent when it comes to sexual identity. This is speaking more specifically into, you know, that area, you know, where our hope comes from. Our hope doesn't come from the government. Our freedom and our rights don't come from the government. But we believe that all of those things are inalienable, are our right through our Creator and through Jesus. And so one of the issues that I think that we're having here in the midst of this cultural chaos is that we don't have people that know the word of God. We don't have people that are really building the tenets of their life, the structure of their life around what God says and what he permits to be natural order. And so I'm going to continue to read on. And it says, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. So I'm going to kind of give a little bit of context of that, that even the angels, even though they are more powerful in terms of them commanding evil spirits, they know that that authority resides only with the Lord. So one of the things that he's saying, he says, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, they do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment before them, evil spirits before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters, this is talking about wicked people now, blaspheming matters of which they are arrogant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as they wage war for their wrongdoing. So he's making this picture that even the angels know their authority, whereas these wicked and lawless people, they have no, they're so arrogant that they despise authority and they rebel against it, not knowing who they blaspheme and even the power of which they are blaspheming. And so they're bringing destruction upon themselves. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery and satiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right. They have gone astray. So let's just kind of let's take a breath. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah.
There's so a I lot have a, that we can. Yep.
I go do for have it. A question for you, Jack. So do you think this is happening in our churches now? Like leaders are dealing with this, and the church has become like desensitive to this topic, or desensitive to this?
Yeah, I think one of the ways to easily answer that, how many prominent church leaders have fallen because of sexual sin? More now, you know, you look at these influential global influencers within the church, right? These are not people that just have influence with a couple of dozen people or hundreds of people. These are people that have influence around the world. And, you know, I'm not here to name drop those people. We know who those people are, right? If we don't, you can easily access them. But I'm not here to, you know, bring anything upon those people because their sin has really found really them out. And so I'm not here to add to that, but I am here to really kind of sound the alarm that if we don't think that would be possible for us, we need to think again. Because as the church, as the bride of Christ, we ought to be holding ourselves to a much higher standard, to a standard that is worthy of the call that he has called us to. Yeah. And so there is a separation that is happening, Bria, where, of course, yes, that definitely is happening. You can look in the headlines over the past few years, and you can see these people that we have trusted, right, to lead us in the way of righteousness, secretly living these lives that are not godly, that are full of sexual passions and desires, and things that are wicked. And so, yes, that is happening in our churches today. What do we do about it? We stay awake. That if you are listening to this podcast, that's one of the biggest things that I hope that you would take away from anything that I would say, is that the time and the age that we live in, it's not a coincidence that the Lord has placed us, right, as individuals. Yeah. Yes, we are a church as a collective, but we're also a church as individual parts. Individual parts make up the body, right? It's important that each one of us holds ourselves accountable to the revelation that has been revealed to us through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we have to stay awake and we have to be watchful for the things that are happening. And kind of even in the title of this, how do we abide in Christ? That is one of the ways we stay watchful. I'm going to jump to a parable that we find in Matthew 25, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And I think that this actually answers that question very well, like in a very applicable, way of, yes, this is happening in the church. Kind of what do we do about it? Let's read in Matthew 25. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet their bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and ever wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom. Come and meet him." Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour."
Oh my goodness. Wow.
That is sobering. And it is important for us as a body, through encouragement and through the gift of remembrance, right? Bringing these things to remembrance, right? We have this hope in Jesus Christ. Not just this hope of salvation, right? But this hope that he is returning for his people. You know, and so one of the things that is even being said throughout Second Peter, that the some of the scoffers that they're saying something along the lines of, generations have passed and the Lord has not returned. And one of the things that Peter is really kind of encouraging the church to combat these scoffers with is that the Lord is not just exhibiting his patience, but our understanding of time is so limited. And one of the things that he goes on to say is a thousand years with the Lord is merely a day, and a day with the Lord is a thousand years. And so our concept of what God sees as a long time and sees as a short time, they don't add up. Yeah. And even you can go to even more scripture where it says that his ways and his thoughts, they're not our own, and they are so much higher than our own. One of those is the concept of time. And so even combating these scoffers too, of saying, look, we don't know the time, but even as these generations pass, that amount of time does not equate to what the Lord would see as a long time. And so as we do wait, as we do partner in the sufferings of Christ, right, we will be persecuted when we do stand for truth. We will be hated for the things that we believe, because the world does not know the Lord.
Yeah.
But those that the revelation of Christ has been revealed to, right, there is a responsibility that does fall off, right, in this commissioning that the Lord does give us, right? He says, one of the things that Jesus says is, and I'm paraphrasing this, that he says, all I need you to do is to gather the fish and I will separate them, right? When we talk about this day of judgment, that once the fish are gathered, the Lord will end up doing the dividing. So it's not our job to do the dividing. It's not our job to judge. It's not our job to separate all of the fish. And when I say judge, I'm not talking about the church, because scripture does go into some very specific things about calling the church out and calling the church up. And this is one of the reasons why I'm having this podcast with you, is because we are not a spotless bride, that there's so much chaos that has infiltrated the church that we ought to encourage one another to be abiding with the Lord, to remember that he really is the source, that he is the vine. But again, we have gotten so off track in that. But there's hope. Scripture also tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so when we do rally together and we keep that fire burning, we keep the truth in front of us, we keep living in accordance with the Spirit and putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we move towards building the kingdom.
Yeah. Well, I love that, Jack, and I really love Matthew 25 verses 1 through 13, specifically the last verse, when he says, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." It reminds me of, I don't know, I just feel like as believers, we're called to live a life worth the call. And for me personally, I want to live a life that is like a sweet fragrance to God. I want him to be well pleased with what I do here on earth. And one of my biggest fears, not really a fear, but something that I always keep in mind is when the Lord does call me, I don't want him to say, "Do not depart from me, for I do not know you." And so I feel like as believers, we ought to be living and walking out this walk authentically. And so I just love that you mentioned that. And I believe as the church, as the body, that we need to walk that out authentically. And we do need to call that out when we see it's not going according to his word. And so I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah, and it can be a very difficult thing, but one of the things that I also believe is that this, you may have heard this before, but the spirit of the age, what I think that that is, and I'm in agreement with other people that, have said this, that the spirit of the age really is not confrontation, being able to appease anyone's views, their way of life, live your truth, I'll live mine. But we know that scripture is contrary to that idea. We know that it comes in complete opposition to what truth actually does say. And so what does that leave us with Christians the responsibility to do? That even in, Second Peter, there's so much. I just want to just take a brief stop. That if you have not read First and Second Peter, or it's been a while since you have read it, I would encourage anyone that is listening to this to go and read that. Read it for yourself. That when we do read God's word, it ought to, convict the parts in us that are in need of realigning, like I had mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. But kind of going back to that thought that when we do look into the scriptures that Peter is writing, he does tell us how to confront those things, that we are to confront those things full of love, that we are to confront those things full of grace. But let's not get that confused, right? This is kind of going to dive into one of my other thoughts that has really been impressed on my spirit. So the spirit of the age being non-confrontation, but now we've created an idol out of empathy and compassion, which, if you give me just a moment, I do have some thoughts that I do want to share about this. That one of the things that we see throughout Scripture, and we see even in the Old Testament, of when the prophets are telling who God is and characteristics of Him, they do say that He is slow to anger and he is quick to forgive, that he is compassionate and he is loving. And then we get to this embodiment of God, Jesus, the person who is also fully God. And there's this moment where he is looking out on a crowd, and scripture says that he looks out on the crowd and he has compassion on them. And I think one of the things that we've done in the church, right, we've taken these moments where we see Jesus be compassionate, that we interpret it as if he's only compassionate about their circumstance. That it's almost as if we interpret that Jesus is only worried, right? He's only concerned about their physical healing or about them being physically fed. But we know that our Savior came to give us life and eternal life, which is not really concerned so much with the physical aspect, but with the spiritual. That Jesus was their soul, that when he looked out on them, his compassion ran so deep that it wasn't just a surface level thing, but it ran to the things that are unseen. And with people that live by the spirit or people of the things that are unseen, right? So our compassion cannot just be attached to circumstances that happen in people's lives. We can care for people, we can have empathy with people, but it ought not take a position where we sacrifice our beliefs, where we sacrifice our tenets for the sake of compassion, for the sake of what the world really would define as love. Because honestly, Bria, I would say the most unloving thing to do to someone is to leave them without a representation of the gospel and to leave them believing that their way can lead them to eternal life. Yeah. That's a very, very unloving thing, because what that death. And so one of the things that we need to open back up in conversation is that we ought to hold both of those things in our hands. Scripture does say that the person of Jesus was the representation. He was the embodiment of both grace and truth, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when we do have, you know, people that do come against us, in no way, shape, form, or fashion are we trying to make those people's lives miserable or, you know, trying to condemn them. But when we do present the truth, that it ought to be saturated in love, that it ought to be in a manner of which that can, and I would hope and pray, be palatable to someone that does not recognize truth, that does not see truth. And I think that's one of the things that we have for so long, the pendulum, right? And I'm going to try to be specific and clear about this so that we don't get confused, that the pendulum within the American church, I think, has been so far left in terms of confronting cultural chaos. So when our culture goes against things that we as Christians believe to be true, there's been this spirit almost of condemnation, that you're not welcomed, that, you know, you're cast out and all of these things. And I believe that that is not good, that that is not true. Of what the gospel truly does communicate. And now I feel the pendulum is swinging so far to the other side of, like, you're just accepted, continue to be who you are. But one of the things that I love that Peter says, and I will, for the life of me, I cannot remember where he says it, but he says something along the lines, bear with me, of, for those of you that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that there ought to be some type of transformation in you. Again, that's a paraphrase, right? Yeah. So he's basically saying that if you truly have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that you will be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes.
And so we have to continue to put that in front of people, that, you know, following after Christ is not just some, you know, moral projection of you saying that you're a good person, but it is this dying of self, right? It is this, these former things being redeemed, these former things being conformed to the work of the cross, that what Jesus did, when we give up those things, we glorify what Jesus did and accomplished on our behalf. And so we have to keep that up front and in conversation, especially in these times. And Bria, you know that these times are dark. You know that these times are crazy, and they're only getting crazier. I mean, you look at our economy, people are in fear, people are confused, people don't know, like, how to even define a woman anymore. Like, there's just so much confusion. And for our listeners, the Word of God provides an answer for it. Throughout all of history, right, there's a word that has permeated every single culture and to this day continues to stand. There isn't another form of literature. There isn't another religion that has surpassed the antiquity, really, that the Bible has. And so instead of forsaking historical, you know, facts and historical record and historical tradition, we ought to be able to look back at history and be able to say, look, this has continued to prevail. It has throughout every war, through social crisis, throughout everything that has been endured in the past 2,000 years, the Word of God, even before then, when we get into the Old Testament, has continued to prevail. And is continuing to grow. And so that should, I would hope, cause people to really think, you know, is this something trustworthy that I can build my life upon? And I can say from my own personal experience that it is. Like, Bria, I have lived a life really outside of the confines of what God says is natural order.
So you're able to speak into that.
Yeah. So taking a break from some of our scripture, I'll kind of share a little bit of my story. And hopefully this will give, you know, even more power to what it is that I am saying. That I'm not coming from the perspective of someone that, you know, is trying to be self-righteous, that has never sinned, that has never gone, you know, down a very dark road. I'm speaking from someone that has lived in darkness and had lived in darkness for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so kind of start at the beginning, and I'll try to make this as brief, but I want to be beneficial to our listeners. That it kind of, everything started really when I was a kid. And so I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with wonderful parents, a wonderful family. But all of that changed and began to really head down a dark path. The summer, I believe it was of 1999, I was 5 years old. And there was an incident that happened with a young man where I was sexually molested. And so this set me down a very interesting path, a very confusing path, that from the age of five, the enemy has been after my sexual identity.
Yeah. My goodness.
A moment began to change my entire reality. And so, five-year-old left with this, left with so many questions, not knowing what happened, not knowing really what to do, what to say, really where, you know, really where to begin. But as I really began to grow and I became mature and realize the depravity of what took place in that room, there is this intense shame that fell upon me, and I took ownership of what happened, and I felt that as that I was the issue, that I was the problem. And so the fun loving, like, and you know me, right? You've got to experience me. I'm a wild but the fun thing, you know, even kid that I was just began to shrink down and to shrivel, and I became so depressed, and I became so caught in sexual thought that even by the age, I think it was of 9 or 10, I ended up getting addicted to pornography. And so my exposure to dark, dark things happened at such a very, very, very young age. And this only began really to progress, and it progressed to a point where the darkness was so thick that I had no spiritual sight. I had no really direction to where you know, I just wanted to give myself really kind of away to the darkness. I was like, if this is going to be the way things are, then I'm just going to revel in it. And I'm just going to, you know, be this person. And I'm so grateful, Bria, for the grace of God, because God's grace met me in every single corner. When I felt like giving up, when I felt like giving up my life, when I felt like giving up my faith, that He met me, that when I did pray, that when I did ask for the Lord to meet me, like even to this day, like I get chill bumps, because if there's anyone that doesn't deserve God's grace, I feel as though it is me. And so for our listeners, if you do feel either convicted by this word, or you feel as though you're lost and you are confused, that not only is Jesus your answer, but His word is the foundation that you ought to build your life on. And I'm so thankful, and I'm so grateful for the leading of the Holy Spirit, that by giving my life over to the Lord and filling me with His Spirit, that He's equipped me to live this life, right? And hear me, this is important for our listeners too. It doesn't mean that I don't struggle, right? I want to be very, very clear about that. But what it does, it holds me accountable really to the revelation that I do have now, right? And the manner and the measure of grace, this is one of the things that's been me, is the manner of grace that I give back to this world. And so my job here is not to, you know, cast shame on people, but my job as a Christian is to uphold the values and the purpose of the church. And so that really is, you know, where if there is any judgment, it is really towards the church, that we ought to stay awake and not allow the things that once were, right, those things in my life, right, to not allow those things to take us over, but to be alert because the Lord is returning.
Yes, and we have to be ready. Jack, thank you so much for sharing your story. I pray that anyone listening, I pray that if you relate to that, know that you're not alone, and know that the Lord is chasing you down, and he's desiring you, and he wants to transform your life, and just be willing to give your spirit to him. So, Jack, thank you for sharing that. I know you mentioned, so how can we live to the standard God has called us to live? Or what is the standard that God's calling us to live?
So Peter also does say this, that we are to live holy lives, for the Lord himself is holy. And one of the ways that we do that, we find this in the parable, to be in Matthew 25, to be watchful, that when we are aware spiritual condition, that we are aware of what is going on, not just in our society, but even around the world, that it does cause us to respond in a very different way, right? If I'm spiritually blind to myself, like, I can know all of the things that are happening around the world, but what benefit does that give me if I can't even see those things within myself, if I'm spiritually blind to my own condition, right? So there has to be, I think, a reality in terms of abiding in Christ, for us to come to terms with, I need you, Lord. Like, I cannot do this without you. That if I'm living in a reality, in any other reality, outside of the fact that I need the Lord, that is a reality that needs to be rectified. That is a reality that needs to shift. So I have to come to grips with, God, I cannot. And our flesh fights that. You know, we live in a culture too. It's like, you know, do everything yourself, be successful, make a name for yourself, you know, scripture does, it's confrontational with scripture, because scripture does say to lay down your life and to allow the Lord to be the one that leads your decision making, to allow the Lord and the Spirit to cause you to react, to respond to everything that is around you. And so I think that that's one of the things that we have to remind ourselves, that that is the standard that God is calling us to live, that we're not a reactive people based on cultural shifts, the way that we feel, but we're people that are so bound to the power and the work of the cross that we're willing to give up anything for it. That means our addictions, that means our personal preferences, that means our hurts, our pains, our bitterness, the things that we have held so dear, if they do not match up with what God has called us to, they have to be relinquished. And the work of the Holy Spirit is so faithful and so patient to walk alongside you in that. And I'm speaking really for myself when I say that, that the Lord has had a lot of patience with me, where I'm like, look, you should have given up on me a long time ago. But the Lord is just, he's so good in that way, that even when you do stumble, that even when you know what is right and you continue to choose what is wrong, the Lord is still there with an invitation to repentance, which I am so grateful and so thankful for. But honestly, Bria, that's one of the things that I would say is, you know, this awareness and the standard of staying awake, of keeping our oil filled and our lamps trimmed.
Yeah. Wow, that is very, very good. And I definitely believe that as a body, like as a church, that we need to do a better job at being aware of the things that are going on in the church and being aware of culture and how we are. I feel like often we bend for culture. We don't speak against certain things. And so that's very good. Definitely something that I'm going to take note of. For myself, I guess just to end with this, you kind of already talked about this just recently, but as believers, how can we abide in the Lord? I know you mentioned keeping our lamps lit and keeping our hearts on fire for God. But how can we do it in the midst of crazy times like this? And so for that person listening that's struggling with abiding in the Lord during all of the noise around us, what are some things that you would recommend to that person?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things that is so interesting and I think so unique about the time in which we live, like this isn't a new thing, right, for us because we're in the midst of it, but our access to technology. And one of the things that has been happening really since the introduction of social media, we have so many people that just give their opinions and their interpretation of scripture, and we accept it as just the default truth without actually going and reading scripture and diving into scripture ourselves. And so I would encourage anyone that is listening, even to this podcast, right? Because it is important for you to go and read God's word. It is important for you to go and beseech the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit for insight and discernment, that you're not just listening to Jack's voice or Bria's voice, but you're going and you're reading the word of God. Every single word of God is meant to instruct and to be useful for the building of God's kingdom. And so that's one of the things that I would say, is to not just use social media platforms to gain, you know, maybe your Bible verse of the day or your moments with Jesus, being influenced by just that, but reading the word of God. Like that is essential to the believer, because there is a lot out there. There's a lot that's going to vie for your attention to replace the truths of scripture, and to even dilute or perverse scripture. And so you have to know, like, we don't have an excuse. We have it right in front of us. We have so much access to it. To really know what scripture is saying, so that when it does come for a time for us to give an account, we're not sitting here like, oh, I don't know. But we are studied and we are ready to give an account for the things of God. Another thing too, this is so contrary to our culture, and I know that we even personally have had these conversations before, but the slowing down, that we live in a culture that's so fast and so fast and so fast, and
so busy.
It doesn't really believe in taking breaks, that implementing some shape, form, or fashion, even in the midst of urgency, that we do live in urgent times, but that doesn't override the need for rest. That yes, we do need to be, you know, aggressive in our advancing of the kingdom, of sharing the gospel, of loving people and living in brotherly love. But we also have to understand that we need rest in order to do that. That if we do not get that concept, when the time comes for us to be called on, maybe in a greater manner, we may not have the ability to do that, because our abandoning of this law and this the law really of Sabbath, that it's not there for no reason, right? When we look at the creation story, we don't find that Sabbath is a part of that just because, oh well, God needed to rest. No, God did not need to rest. God is God. God was demonstrating really to his people that, you know, you have limits and you have bounds. And if you don't respect those, right? If you don't respect natural order, then things are going. And oftentimes, right? And I know that you can speak into this. When we don't rest, we find that our lives are in the midst of chaos. So that's what I would encourage your listeners. Find time to rest. Find a Sabbath.
Jack, can you talk just really briefly about rest? Like, what does that look like for some people?
Well, you're talking to someone who is an avid napper. On the physical end of rest, like, I've got that one nailed to a T. Like, I can fall asleep literally anywhere and be completely okay. Like, even when there's lots to do, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna take a nap. That's not everyone. Yeah. That's just some people out, which I can relate
to that.
But I would say on spiritual rest, these are moments where you intentionally take time with the Lord. And no, I'm not going to put maybe all of these bounds on it, but it is important for you to go back and read scripture and what the scriptures say about Sabbath. And then also interpret that under New Testament, under New Testament law, under the new covenant that we are under. But also in terms of spiritual rest, that if there is not moments, even I would say, like, if you have even spent like hours with the Lord, like, I would just encourage people to do that, just to be able to sit with the Lord, to pray, to worship the Lord. The moments that I have set aside extravagant time just to be with the Lord, those are the moments that have imprinted me, I think, the most. And have really, I feel, given me much better revelation, not just of the person of Christ, but me, of where I'm at, and of, the things that God has called me to, and who he, has called me to love, and all of those things. So I would say that the extravagant time that I have spent with the Lord has been extremely beneficial. But
yeah,
their physical rest is important. What are you saying?
I think it's really difficult in the days that we live in to slow down our mind, to slow down our time to do that. And it's something that I feel like the Lord is still teaching me. And I definitely see the importance in it. And I see how and why it's important to God. And especially hosting a podcast, I want to make sure that I am spending time with the Lord and my first love before I pour into this, because I can't pour into this without just being with him and being filled with him. And so I definitely want to just emphasize rest too. And yeah, I think once we spend time with the Lord, he's able to reveal to us some areas in our life, and even areas like as believers in the church, things that we need to work on and repent of. And I think this, so I just want to emphasize that.
Yeah, and I would say the last thing that I would say about that is that we as a people, a chosen people, children of light, have to recognize that we carry the Holy Spirit. And so moments of rest can actually happen during moments of activity. The moments that we recognize that we carry the very Spirit of God with us throughout the day, that the conversations and the small prayers that we have throughout the day, we can find rest in those things as well. And so we have to recognize in a deep, deep way that the Lord is with us every single where we go. That gives us peace. That does and ought to, right? Give our souls rest, that no matter what is happening around us, the Spirit of God is with me.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I thank you so much. I hope that this blesses someone and it teaches someone. And I'm just so honored that you took the time to come on and just talk about this, talk about what the Lord's put on your heart. And for that person who is struggling with this, I pray that you know that you're not alone, and that the Holy Spirit is desiring and chasing you down and wants to teach you and wants to show you what this is all about. And so, Jack, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Bria.
Yeah. Is there any way that the listeners can stay in touch with you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. I believe my Instagram handle is, one moment. It is _JC Roper, R-O-P-E-R, _. So if you go and follow me, Jack Roper, my picture will be there.
You
can follow me there, kind of stay in touch with my life. I'm not the most, social media active person, so it might be a dry spell for a while, but that's okay.
Yes. And Jack, I'm not really sure if they're able to do this, but if someone wants to partner with you in what you're doing in Israel, is that an option too?
Yeah, you can just DM me social media.
Yes. Also, I can also put that in my show notes as well.
Perfect. Awesome.
How to do that.
Thank you so much.
Well, yes, you're welcome, Jack. I thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, I just can't wait to see all that the Lord's going to do through you. And those kids are going to be so blessed by you and by your obedience.
Appreciate that, Bria. That's so sweet.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here today. You bring me so much joy.
Yes. Thanks, Jack. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Well, friends, that is all for this week's episode. I pray that you enjoyed it. I hope that it was insightful for you. Be sure to stay up to date on all things Abide and Thrive on Instagram at Abide and Thrive Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I will see you all in another episode next week. Bye!